Good evening, everyone. It's Thursday evening, and it is the 28th of March, 2024. Well, tomorrow's Good Friday, and I heard a minister say when it happened, it wasn't very good what they did to Christ. But after he resurrected from the dead, we look back on it as one of the greatest things that he ever did for his people. Dying on a cruel and rugged cross at Calvary. But tonight I want to talk about something that I think is a worthy subject coming up on this Easter Sunday. And that is, what do you do with your guilt? What do you do with your guilt? And why do you have guilt? Where does guilt come from? Where does a guilty conscience come from? James 2:10 says that, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And sins one time, just one time, they're guilty of committing every sin in the book. They've just slipped up one time, they're guilty of sinning every sin in the book. You might say, well, that's not fair. No one can reach that level of perfection. Well, you're right. No one can reach that level of perfection. There's only one person that could ever reach that level of perfection, and that was Christ himself. That's why he came into this sin-cursed world, to die on a cruel and rugged cross at Calvary, to save us from all of our sins, not just one of our sins, but from all of our sins. There's a lot of people that I saw a post on Facebook, and it said something to the effect, oh, I slipped in sin. Now that means I got to get born again all over again. This is the fifth time I've been born again. Well, when Christ died on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary, he died for all of our sins, our past, our present, and our future sins. However, when we do sin, as God's people, we are convicted of our sins, and we're brought to a point of repentance of our sins through the Holy Spirit. That's why we're told, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're also told, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, all the world are guilty before God because of the law, because they can't perfectly keep the law. Romans 3:19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it is saith that him are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. There's not one person that has not been born and conceived in sin except for Christ. If you go back in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, you'll find that They offered a lot of sacrifices for sins. Turtle doves. All kinds of sacrifices. Looking forward to the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ when he would shed his blood on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. The Lord tells us that, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your cares upon me, for he careth for you. For I am meek and lowly." "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So, the remedy for guilt is not to go to a Catholic priest and confess your sins. Jesus Christ is our high priest. We go to Christ to confess our sins. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. There's a lot of people that are walking around full of guilt, and they can't even forgive themselves, let alone believe that God forgives them. There's only one way of absolving ourselves of the guilt of our sins, and that is going to Christ. There's a song we used to sing, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Well, there's literally thousands of people, hundreds of thousands probably, I don't know the exact number, in the United States who are in prison today because of some crime they've committed, either against a person or against the government or against someone, and they were pronounced guilty in a court of law, and the judge sent that person to prison for their crimes they committed, you know. But every one of us have committed crimes. When you look at the Ten Commandments, you see that none of us are absent of disobeying the Ten Commandments. We put other gods before us. We've dishonored our parents. We've stolen. We've committed adultery. We look at a woman to lust after, we've committed adultery in our hearts. We bear false witness against our neighbor. We've dishonored God's Sabbath day. We've murdered because the Bible says if you hate your neighbor or you hate someone in your heart, that's the same as committing murder, is it not? So I think it's fair to say that we're all criminals in the sight of God. Not only through the sin of Adam, but through actual sins that we've committed. You know, but whenever we sin against our neighbor, we're actually sinning against God. Anytime we break his law, we're sinning against God. You know, and when we sin, the same things happens to us that happened to Adam when he sinned. He hid himself from God. He tried to clothe himself in fig leaves. Well, 1 John 5:17 says, all unrighteousness is sin. The word sin is mentioned 389 times in the Bible. The word sin. The Bible says, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin bringeth forth death. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians 15:50. For by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Well, I asked the question at the beginning of this, what do we do with our guilt? The answer is, we go to Christ. And He's always faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the good Lord be with you. It's my prayer. God bless.